There are some interesting stories from World War II about the harbor pilots who guided their boats through mine-infested waters during World War II, especially in the Pacific theater of the war. Many of the sailors who were upon the boats looked upon the clear waters and they could see the mines floating beneath. And it was a very scary, scary sight. The pilot had to literally weave from side to side to make it back to their docks to avoid the mines. And if the hull of the boat would have just nudged one of the mines, it would have been a disaster. The boat would have exploded. But many of these pilots, these harbor pilots, guided the ship carefully, knowing where every mine was located. The dangerous obstacles were the mines, but they were experts at guiding their boats through the dangerous waters. Now, we all face obstacles in our lives from many sources and directions. It might be health. It might be with other people. Or it might even be with our own discouragement. And another great obstacle for us as disciples is a world that is going astray, down a path to destruction. But let us not be discouraged. God has promised to lead and guide us during turbulent times. He did that for ancient Israel, despite all of the problems and the challenges that they faced. Please turn with me to Psalm chapter 78 to begin the sermon this afternoon. Psalm chapter 78. If you recall, Psalm 78 is a brief history of Israel as God guided them out from their slavery in Egypt and through the desert to the promised land. And the section that we're going to look at, beginning in verse number 12, describes God's marvelous work in delivering and guiding Israel. Psalm chapter 78, and we're going to begin in verse number 12. As we begin here in verse number 12, it describes the 10 plagues, the miracles that God brought upon Egypt so Israel could have their freedom from slavery. Verse number 12, marvelous things, speaking of the miracles, he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt in the field of Zoan. Zoan was a famous city located in Egypt. Then verse 13 describes the Red Sea crossing. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters stand up like a heap. Verse 14, in the daytime also, he led them with the cloud. And we know that God did lead them in the desert with the cloud and guided them in that way. And all the night with a light of fire. Verse 15, he split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought out streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like the rivers. A section describing the miracles that took place as God not only brought Israel out of Egypt, but guided them through the desert. Now let's drop down to verse 51. And verse 51 begins describing the 10th plague that God brought upon Egypt, the miracle so that Israel could have their freedom from slavery. Verse 51, and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. Ham is mentioned because the Egyptians were descendants from Ham. And then notice verse 52. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. God guided them with tender loving care like a shepherd does his own flock. Verse 53, he led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Verse 54, and he brought them to this holy border, describing the new generation coming to the promised land. This mountain, referring to Mount Zion, which his right hand had acquired. Verse 55, he also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. So God took care of Israel, guided them and led them all the way to the promised land, which was their inheritance. Notice this word in verse 52, guided them. Our English word guided comes from a Hebrew word which describes the activity of a shepherd. And of course, God guided them with tender, loving care. God guided his people during the wilderness wanderings. And what a blessing. What an absolute blessing that ancient Israel had. He took them out of the slavery of Egypt, where they had been under the taskmaster's whips, where some of them, that's all they knew for all their lives, was slavery. And God brought them out of Egypt and guided them through the desert to the promised land and took care of them all the way. And these are some of the things that we talk about during the days of unleavened bread. God guided them out of Egypt and through the desert. This word guided, which we see in verse 52, is a term which is also significant to the next part of God's plan, the next holy day, the Feast of Pentecost, which we are worshiping on today. Because God guides us. He guides us by means of His Holy Spirit. And it is a very special guidance on our path to the kingdom of God. What a blessing that is. Let's turn back a few pages to Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. And we will begin reading in verse number 8. This is a psalm of David rejoicing over the fact that his sins were forgiven. And then when we come to verse number 8, God speaks to instruct his people on his guidance. Psalm chapter 32. And let's begin reading in verse number 8. Again, this is God's message to his people. Verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And God is the one that gives us that instruction on the way that we should go. And notice this, I will guide you with my eye. That's talking about God's loving care for his people. The way that he guides them and takes care of them. His watchful care. Verse number 9, there's a warning here. He says, do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Horses and mules need bits and bridles to guide them. They have to be forced to go a certain way. But we see here in verse number 8, God says, I will guide you with my eye. Again, God's watchful care, his loving care. And God does give special guidance to his people, those who are willing to follow him and to trust him. Our English word guide here, which we see in verse number 52, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, comes from a Hebrew root, which means to lead or guide to a watering place and to give rest there. To lead or guide to a watering place and to give rest there. And water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And God guides us by means of the Holy Spirit. The special guidance that God gives has much to do with the day that we are celebrating today, the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to the church. The title of today's sermon is God's Special Guidance. God's Special Guidance. Today, let's focus on God's special guidance he gives to his disciples by means of the Holy Spirit. And I want to emphasize something here. It's not just guidance, but special guidance that God gives to us. During the sermon today, we are going to examine that special guidance and the results of it. Because there are results from guidance by means of the Holy Spirit. there are spiritual results, spiritual benefits. And we'll talk about that today. The day of Pentecost is a very important holy day. It is an annual reminder that on that day, that day of Pentecost in the first century AD, God poured out His Spirit to establish His church, the body of believers who are led by His Spirit. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but we can read in Acts chapter 2 that after the Holy Spirit came to the church, there was tremendous, tremendous growth in the church. The results of the guidance by the Holy Spirit. In fact, it mentions in Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 were added that day. And then even more on a daily basis. Tremendous spiritual results. Now, 7 weeks ago, approximately, we were keeping the days of unleavened bread. And we were talking about coming out of sin, which is one of the major themes of the days of unleavened bread. Just as Egypt, as Israel came out of Egypt, out of their slavery, we come out of the slavery of sin. And we talk about that during the days of unleavened bread. And now today, we have come to the Feast of Pentecost. And there's a very important reason why we as individuals need God's Spirit. We all need God's Spirit. And that is because we are human. Each and every one of us are human. We make mistakes. And even though we don't want to, we still sin. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And you will recall when we went through this section of Scripture during the Bible study series that Moses gave a series of sermons to the new generation that was about to go into the Promised Land. They were only a half a day's journey from going into the Promised Land, and virtually all of the book of Deuteronomy is Moses' sermons to them. And this was one of his sermons. And here in chapter 5, he gave that new generation of Israelites the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to them. Deuteronomy chapter 5, we're going to focus on verse number 29, but I want to begin in verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 1, and we read, again, this is to the new generation of Israelites, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them." That was God's deep desire for Israel, this new generation of Israelites that were about to go into the Promised Land, that they learn God's way of life, God's commandments, and be careful to observe them. And that's His great desire for us as well as disciples. Now let's drop down to verse number 29. After those Ten Commandments had been given to them, He says this, God says, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments." And in other words, not sin. "And that it may be well with them and with their children forever." That was God's admonition, is that they would want to respect Him and obey Him always and to keep all of His commandments and not to sin. Now, we as human beings, we have a weakness. We have a weakness, and as God points it out here, it's a problem of the heart. It's a problem of the heart. Because of our human nature, we are against God and against His laws. So here's a key element to think about and meditate upon as we keep this particular holy day today. To obey God in our thoughts, attitudes, and actions, it requires an additional element, an additional ingredient, and that is God's Holy Spirit. To be able to truly obey God in our thoughts, actions, and attitudes, we have to have God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. Now, we know, and there's many examples, we can read them here in the first part of the Bible, all the way up to the book of Judges, that ancient Israel was not fully able to keep God's commandments and what he desired of them. In fact, we read in the book of Judges, after Joshua and the elders that were with him died, Israel went full tilt into paganism and away from God because they lacked something. They lacked something to be able to obey God. And that something is what we all have access to. Access to it when we repent, are baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit helps us on the path to obedience to God. The Holy Spirit helps us to do things that we cannot normally do by ourselves. It helps us and guides us to learn more of God's way and to apply it in our lives. It also helps us to worship God on a higher level than we can do of ourselves. That helps us to worship God on a higher level. And here we are on this holy day, the Feast of Pentecost, worshiping our great God. He has revealed to us his plan of salvation, what he's going to be doing in the future when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, when there finally will be peace on this planet. And what a great plan that God has revealed to us. And we worship God because of that. The Holy Spirit does help and guide us on the right path, on the path to conversion. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Lydia, olvidé de mi agua. ¿Puede traerlo para mí, por favor? Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verse number 14. This is the Apostle Paul talking in this particular section, instructing about the Holy Spirit. And he mentions about the fact that we have a choice in our lives. We have the choice to follow our carnal mind, which is the way to death, or to be spiritually minded, which is life and peace. Let's pick it up in Romans chapter 8 in verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, or we could say led or guided by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the ones that are spiritually minded, have the opportunity to become part of the family of God and the kingdom of God. And that's what a wonderful opportunity to be called to be part of that. The Holy Spirit is a divine power that leads and guides us. It's a power of God at work in our lives. And it helps us. It helps us to go on to conversion. Helps us to leave this world behind, its ways, and to leave sin behind as well. Let's drop down to verse number 26. The Apostle Paul writes here in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. So we do have weaknesses, each and every one of us. We are human. We have human nature. And there's powers at work to try to get us away from God. But the Holy Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. Continuing on here, the Apostle Paul gives us an example of one of our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. You know, there are times that are like that, where we know we want to pray before God, but we just can't find the right words of what we need to say in our prayers. The Holy Spirit can help us to find those right words in our prayers. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God does not want us to fail, even though we do have our weaknesses. He wants us to make it. He wants us to become converted disciples, converted individuals. And that's why, and that's how the Holy Spirit can help us. We have that extra help in our time of need to guide us on the right path. And let me emphasize this. It is special guidance that God gives us by means of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us to continue on the right path, the path to conversion. That's one of the spiritual results, the spiritual benefit of the Holy Spirit's guidance. The Holy Spirit also helps us to focus on hope. To focus on hope. Hope in the future when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and wonderful changes begin to take place. A time of joy and peace. And the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us to focus on that hope. You know, there's not a lot of hope in this world today. As we look around us, we see death and destruction, things that are going on in our day and time that we never would have believed to be happening. You know, mass murders in schools and churches and things happening around the world. We have enough nuclear devices on this planet to literally destroy all life from the planet. And leaders that are capable of using those devices and want to use those devices. But the Bible tells us that there is a glorious future coming, that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and we're going to have wonderful changes take place. That is glorious hope for us to focus upon. Romans chapter 15, let's go just a few pages forward. Romans chapter 15. And we'll read verse 13. Romans chapter 15. And verse number 13, we read in verse 13, now may the God of hope, because God is a God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. We do want to be filled with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice the Apostle Paul just doesn't put it like that you may have hope, but he says that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God opens our minds and guides us to greater understanding of his plan and purpose for all of mankind. The opportunity to be a part of his family. And that is wonderful hope. When we think about Christ coming to rule in the kingdom, and the changes that will take place, the Holy Spirit helps us to focus on that hope. That's one of the spiritual benefits, the spiritual results of guidance by the Holy Spirit. Another way we are guided by the Holy Spirit is it guides us to truth. It guides us to truth. Jesus Christ explained to the disciples as he was walking along with them on the road to Gethsemane, where he would be arrested and tried and put to death. He described to them how the Holy Spirit would guide and help them into truth when that day of Pentecost would arrive and they would receive the Holy Spirit in the first century AD. Let's notice that in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And this is one of that section between John chapter 15 and 16, where Christ was walking along with the disciples and admonishing them to abide in him, to develop that relationship with him, and also teaching them about the Holy Spirit that would be coming eventually on that day of Pentecost. John chapter 16, and let's pick it up in verse number 6. Previously, Christ had been telling the disciples that he was going to be leaving them. He was going to be leaving them, and they didn't really grasp what he was talking about and have the understanding of why Christ would be leaving them. Now, think about this. He had been with them for about 3.5 years, teaching them, instructing them, giving many wonderful parables, and even performing miracles, which they saw and witnessed to. They didn't want Christ to leave them. And they also wanted him to set up the kingdom at that time. But he's telling them, I'm going to be leaving you. And they didn't grasp it. Verse number 6 of chapter 16. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Again, they didn't want him to leave. But that's what he was telling them. Then he gives them this important knowledge here in verse 7. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, he tells the disciples. And Christ was telling them the truth because he is the author of truth. And he was telling them, I tell you the truth. And here it is. It is to your advantage that I go away. So he's telling them, even though you are sorrowful, it's to your advantage that I do go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, referring to the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. And then notice the last part of verse 7. But if I depart, I will send it to you. And that was a promise that Jesus Christ gave to the disciples. That when I go away, the Holy Spirit will be sent to you. Christ says this in verse number 7, I tell you the truth, because he's the author and the very anchor of truth. And the truth of God reveals and deals with spiritual matters. Spiritual matters. Reveal knowledge through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is the enabler that opens our minds to understand the truth. Continuing on now in verse number 8, talking about the Holy Spirit that would be sent to them. He says this in verse 8, and when it has come, it will convict or reveal, bring to light, to prove, convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Revealing those things, in other words, proving those things. Verse number 9, of sin because they do not believe me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Notice this word in verse number 8, our English word, convict, in verse number 8. That comes from a Greek word, elenchō. And I'll spell it to you if you want to put this in your notes. It's spelled E-L-E-N-C-H-O. And that word from the Greek means to bring to light, to demonstrate, and to prove. And that's what the truth of God does. The conviction takes place in concert with God's word. In concert with God's word. And so Christ is telling them, when I depart, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Continuing on in verse number 12, he says this, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. No, Christ was telling them, like I had mentioned previously, that he was going to be leaving them, and it was to their advantage that he goes away. Again, they also wanted him to set up the kingdom at that time, but he knew that they couldn't handle any more of the spiritual matters that he was talking about. That more would be revealed to them when the Holy Spirit would come. Notice in verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth. So Christ said in verse number 12, I've got many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when the Holy Spirit comes, it will guide you into all truth. Continuing on, for it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak and will tell you things to come. Christ said, it will guide you into all truth. And the truth of God deals with spiritual matters, a knowledge that is revealed when a mind is opened, when God chooses to open a mind to understand. The truth of God does deal with spiritual matters. In the world today, we're lacking truth big time. You can't trust the leaders. You can't trust the politicians, but you can trust God and His Word, because truth comes from God. God reveals truth. His plan of salvation is revealed, not only of the past, the history that we can read about and learn from in the Scriptures, but also of the future, prophecy, that things that are going to take place in the future. Notice here we see this word guide here, that it will guide you into all truth in verse number 13. Our English word guide comes from a Greek word, hodegesai, which if you'd like to put this in your notes, it's spelled HODEGESEI. And the Bible Knowledge Keyword Study says that it has the idea of the Spirit assisting someone to acquire knowledge. And I'll add to acquire spiritual knowledge. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It assists us to acquire that spiritual knowledge, assisting one to understand the truth. Christ also told the disciples in the last part of verse 13 that it will tell you things to come. That was another promise to the disciples who would become the apostles. It would teach them of the nature of their mission to preach the gospel message to the world. It would also teach them to understand the opposition that they would face. Because the apostles did face big time opposition. Most of them were martyred. In fact, 11 of them were martyred, and the apostle John was banished to the island of Patmos as a political Roman prisoner. So they went through their opposition. But also the Holy Spirit would help them to understand the fruits of their labors in teaching the world God's way of life. And they fully began to understand these things after the Holy Spirit had come. And we have proof of that. We have proof of that in the Bible. Because the Apostle John and the Apostle Peter wrote down things that they understood. Understanding that was revealed to them after the Holy Spirit had come. And we have those books in the Bible later on in the Bible here. It will tell you things to come, was for the disciples to learn more by means of the Holy Spirit. But it also has significance for us as well. Because we can understand Bible prophecy by means of the Holy Spirit in the revealing of God's word to us. God gives us greater understanding by the power of His Spirit. He teaches us by means of it. Let's go back a page or so to John chapter 14, where the disciples were still in the upper room with the disciples after they had partaken of the New Testament symbols of the Passover. And he continues to instruct them in the upper room. And let's pick it up in verse 25 of chapter 14 of John. Verse 25, he said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." And of course, he had been teaching them and instructing them, not only here in verse 14, but as he had been leading and instructing them all along. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you." Verse 26, "But the Helper," because again, Christ was going to be going away, "but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." And that's another promise, again, from Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit is going to assist disciples to understand more of His Word. We read previously in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 26, that we have weaknesses. And we all do have weaknesses. You know, sometimes we have those moments where we don't feel like studying, or we don't feel like praying or doing the things that we know we ought to be doing. And yet we can ask God to help us by means of the Holy Spirit, to stir up the Spirit so that we can do those things that will be pleasing in His sight, to study more of His Word and to pray fervently to Him. But God teaches us by means of the Spirit. Continuing on, verse number 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you," Christ said. And the Holy Spirit can assist us to understand what Christ's peace really is. Not just any peace, like world leaders will flop out of their mouths. "We're going to have peace." And yet, it's all just a smokescreen. You know, I've said this before, and I'm getting off tangent here a little bit, but I remember the famous words by Neville Chamberlain, who was the Prime Minister of Great Britain in 1939. He went to meet with Adolf Hitler to discuss peace terms with Hitler. And as he came back to Great Britain and was coming down the stairway from the airplane, and the reporters were there to greet him, he said to the reporters, "I have brought peace in our time." and I'm paraphrasing. And the very next day, World War II took place. Germany began to invade the rest of Europe, and World War II was in full flame. But Christ's peace is a real peace. And the Holy Spirit can help us to understand that. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It teaches us, enables us to understand spiritual truths, and guides us along the way. And let me emphasize this again. We can ask God. We can ask God to stir up His Holy Spirit within us, to teach us from His Word, and to help us to understand. You know, as I was putting together this particular message, I was thinking about the many times when I put together sermons and Bible studies, especially the Bible study series from Genesis to Deuteronomy, and what we've been going through in Isaiah. And as I put these things together, all of a sudden it'll hit me. You know, I never understood that in that way before. Or that never really hit me, even though I've heard sermons and I've heard Bible studies years upon years. I never understood this like this before. And God's Spirit can help us to understand that when we are digging into His Word and His truth. And we can ask God for that help to be able to have that understanding. To teach and bring to memory all things, as Christ said, I have said to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I mentioned that has happened to me as I've put together sermons and Bible studies. And I'm sure it's happened to you as you've been reading through the scriptures or maybe listening to a sermon sometime or a Bible study. And it hits you in a certain way. Oh, I never understood that before. Now I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 9 and 10. Again, as I was putting together this particular message, it hit me, remembering back to when I was a young boy, back in the mid-60s, and hearing Mr. Armstrong speak. Quite often he would go through this section of Scripture. And it was a powerful way that he would bring out this particular section of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9. Verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 2, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And notice verse number 10. But God has revealed them to us. How? Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. God opens the mind through revelation. It is through the Spirit that God reveals the deep things to understand His truth and the plan of salvation that He has for all of mankind. As I mentioned earlier, this world does not have hope, but God has revealed that to us, that there is a glorious future that will be coming when Christ returns to this earth. Through the Spirit, God reveals. And again, we can ask for more of that understanding. God would love to hear that from us. Verse number 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? And then Paul makes this comment on the last part of verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. He said, we have the mind of Christ. It is the mind, our minds in conjunction with God's Spirit, that helps us to know the mind of Christ. And as we continue to grow and conform to God's will, we will be developing a Christ-like mind as we are conformed more to the will of the Father, like Christ was. We have to continue that spiritual growth and go forward. And especially today, we need that guidance from God's Holy Spirit to keep us on course, to be able to recognize the false from the truth. And there's a lot of falsehood in the world today. We flip on the news and we can We can see it on a daily basis. But God reveals His truth to us. And we need that guidance to keep us on course. And God will help us to keep us on course by means of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 now. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Now, this is a section of scripture that typically we turn to on the Day of Atonement, because the Apostle Paul is talking here about the prince of the power of the air that through leads people to disobedience, the sons of disobedience that he calls them. But it's important for us to understand the difference between disobedience and obedience in following God. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Ephesians 2 and verse number 1, the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren in the church of Ephesus and to us as well as brethren. Verse number 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world." And before God called us to understand his truth and to open our minds to his way of life and to the need to keep his commandments and his holy days and the Sabbath, etc., we did walk according to the course of this world, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, referring to Satan and his way of life, the darkness of his way, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And that's what we don't want to be. We don't want to be sons of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Again, before God called us to understand his truth and his marvelous light, we did walk in the way, in that particular way. Paul puts it here. He says the phrase, sons of disobedience, because we are human. We are human beings. We have weaknesses, as we read earlier. And we have to continue on that road to conversion. We're still going through the conversion process. We must go forward in spiritual growth, as it was pointed out in the sermonette so well earlier this afternoon. But we do have help on that path towards conversion. And we must put into action what we learn from God's word so that we can continue on with the conversion process. We must use the Spirit of God to continue the renewing process of the conversion of our minds to be more Christ-like and to live God's way. And again, I'll say this probably for the third time. We can ask God for that help to keep us on that right path and going forward towards the kingdom. There is a way to build character in our lives. And God wants us to build character, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, and to reflect His way of life. And we can do that by seeking and being guided by the Holy Spirit. A couple more scriptures as we wind down now. Let's go to Psalm chapter 48. Psalm chapter 48, and we'll begin reading in verse number 11. Psalm chapter 48 is a psalm about Jerusalem. And this psalm, the psalmist is praising the city of Jerusalem because God will make it secure. Now, this particular psalm about making Jerusalem secure will be fulfilled in the kingdom when Christ returns, because Jerusalem is not secure today. If you've been reading the news of late, there's been bombs lobbed between the Palestinians and the Jews back and forth. Jerusalem is not secure, but it will be in the future when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And that's what this particular psalm is focusing upon. Psalm chapter 48, and let's begin reading in verse number 11. Psalm 48, verse number 11. "Let Mount Zion rejoice." Of course, Mount Zion, referring to that area in and around Jerusalem. "Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments." Verse 12, "Walk about Zion, again referring to Jerusalem. Go around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. And verse number 14, for this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Or as the marginal reference points out, even forever, God will be our guide. The last part of verse number 14, the paraphrase reads like this. He will be our guide until we die. He will be our guide. And this the guide describes the work of a shepherd and what he does for his flock. The loving, watchful care. And that's what God does for us. We often pray for God's guidance and intervention in our lives. It can be in serious matters, health matters, family issues, things that are going on at work, things around us at school, whatever it might be. Even if we're struggling with decisions, we need God's guidance as we go through life. But even more, we need God's guidance during difficult times. And even though these are difficult times, you know, our economy is very, very fragile in this country, Bible prophecy tells us that it's going to get worse. That things are going to get very, very worse at the end of this age before Christ returns. And we need God's guidance during those difficult times that lay ahead. We should pray to put our lives in the hands of the shepherd to guide us towards the kingdom. As we read here in Psalm 48, God will guide believers forever. And the Holy Spirit's guidance is that special help. That special help for each and every one of us so that we can stay on that path towards the kingdom. Finally, let's go to a wonderful prophecy in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to read a prophecy of the future restoration and expansion of Israel. And Isaiah chapter 49 is one of these prophecies. The first part of this chapter refers to the work of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the servant, and his mission. And his ultimate destination is to bring Israel back to God and to bring salvation to his people and eventually to all the world. Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 8. Isaiah 49, verse number 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. The day of salvation that is spoken of here is talking about the millennium after Jesus Christ returns to this earth, when salvation will be offered to not only Israel, but eventually to all of mankind. As a covenant to the people, it refers to the fulfillment of God's covenant promises to Israel. Continuing on, as a covenant to the people, in the middle of verse 8, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. And there is going to be wonderful restoration that's going to take place after Christ returns. Physical restoration to this planet, but even more important, spiritual restoration that will take place. Verse number 9, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Those that have been in the darkness of this world, Satan's way of life, they're going to be shown God's way of life, to be brought to light, and to understand God's word and God's plan of salvation. Continuing on, they shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on desolate heights. Verse number 10, they shall neither hunger nor thirst. And we've got a lot of that in the world today, around the world, where people are dying of hunger and are dying of thirst. But that's going to change in the future. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. And notice the last part of verse number 11, these wonderful words. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water He will guide them. He who has mercy on them will lead them. Just as God had mercy on ancient Israel and delivered them from their slavery of Egypt, He's going to bring the scattered Israelites all from the various parts of the earth back to the promised land. And this earth is going to be restored. And eventually, all people are going to have a chance to become a part of God's family. It says in verse number 10, He will guide them. Or as the Companion Bible puts it, He shall cause them to rest. Because it will be a special guidance for those people in that time. It says here in the last part of verse number 10, even by the springs of water, He will guide them. Springs of water in the future. Water, again, is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And people in the future, after Christ returns, will have the opportunity, their opportunity, to go on to conversion, what God has offered to us today. God's special guidance will be offered to them as well in the future, the special guidance of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost that we have been celebrating today is a special holy day. And God has blessed us to understand its significance. Let's be thankful. Let's always be thankful and rejoicing in what the day of Pentecost means. And rejoicing and thankful that Holy Spirit guides us on the right path, the path to conversion. It also guides us to the truth and to focus on the hope of the future. God's guidance by means of the Holy Spirit truly is very, very special. It's been wonderful to be with all of you on this day of Pentecost, and those of you that are connected, hope you have the wonderful rest of this holy day, that we enjoy the food and fellowship on this wonderful, wonderful, very special day.